good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this 19th day of May. And, of course, we have Brother David Tucker in with us. Good morning,
Good morning, Brother David. Good morning.
And Joe Barner. And, of course, I'm Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First.
Well,
that's the way Ken likes to introduce me. So I just figured, I just figured I'd fancy it up this morning. But anyway, of course, guys, I tell you what, y'all come in this morning. You all are aching and hurting and everything. I mean, you know, I'm going to have to pray for you guys this morning.
Hey, we're not going to say no.
Well, good.
We'll be wide open to that.
You're open for prayer, huh?
Absolutely. No, I got a little bit down in my back. You know, you get to that age where you can do anything you want to today, but you need to pay for it tomorrow.
Yeah,
and so that's just a part of life, but that's all right.
And one of our guys yesterday in church said, "You know," he said, "it's really bad getting young." I said, "I think you need to turn that around." But yeah, it's terrible getting old. That's what it
that's
is.
It.
You know, because everything hurts. But anyway, but at least I'm alive and I'm here. So
that's right.
So that's a plus. So,
today we're going to actually be talking about the power of a life unknown, and we're going to be talking about some men that we really don't know a lot about, but we're going to, I don't want to say speculate, we're going to say theorize.
Okay,
that sounds better. On
that
what
sounds
the,
scholarly.
The movement of God within their world would be. But I wanted to also mention, because it's coming up very soon, Saturday on June 7th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at First Baptist, there's going to be a Men's Fight Club main event. This is a conference for men to gather, and they will have a host of preachers from a lot of different churches.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have some main sessions where they'll do worship and preaching, and then they'll do breakout sessions where you'll have small group and discussion. And so it's a really great opportunity if you're a guy and you want to gather and get some encouragement and be a part of something big. It's fantastic. And it's not just – it's at First Baptist Hopkinsville, but it's not just that church. It's literally pastors from all over the area are going to be coming in to help lead in this, and laymen who are going to be guiding this. And so if you have interest in it, that's going to be on June 7th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so you can live a life of great meaning as a man with a little encouragement from other men. And we're going to talk about what it means to live that life when we get back on the other side as we jump into Genesis chapter 12 and Terah and Abram.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." I heard the story of a boy who was pumping the old pump organ in a church so a certain lady could play it. After the service, he said to her, "We really played well today." She snapped back, "What is this wee stuff? I played well today." Well, the next Sunday, she attempted to play the organ, but no sound came out of it. She heard a voice say, "Is it we or me?" No doubt it's teamwork. In the body of Christ, we work together for His glory to get the work done. It's not about the size of your church, but rather if you're working together. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
All I have to do is turn on the radio, and there is a song or message that applies to my situation.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And we want to say welcome back to the front porch here on Missionary Radio this 19th day of May.
Well, good morning. It is a good morning, and we are going to be looking today in Genesis in chapter 12. We're going to back up just a little bit into chapter 11, and we're going to talk about a couple of fellows. One is named Abram. Most people know him. And then we're going to talk about a guy named Terah, and we know very little about him. So, Joe, if you would you jump in chapter 11, verse 27? And read it all the way down until Terah is no more.
This is the account of Terah's family line. Terah became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran, when Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans. in the land of his birth. Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. And when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah lived 205 years, and he died in Haran.
So we're taking a very dry piece of scripture. This is, you know, sort of the same thing as the starting of Star Wars in a galaxy far, far away.
It kind of comes at the end of a genealogy from Shem, one of the sons of Adam and Eve.
Right.
And then it goes all the way to Abram.
That's right. And so what we have is this picture of a couple of guys. One is Abram, who's the son of Terah. And Terah is going to move from where they start, which is Ur of the Chaldees. And then he's going to get to Haran, which is that the same as Lafayette? How do you pronounce that? Because I was told by Jerry Barron, my good King James only man, he said, this is pronounced, I forget what he said, but it was different from the way I was pronouncing it.
Well, I also had changed the pronunciation of Sarah
to Sarai.
And because her name was changed.
That's true. That is true.
Later on, and just as Abram's became Abraham.
That's right. So I'm just curious, what's your phonetics on Haran?
Well,
it's H-A-R-R-A-N. So is it a long A on the front end?
Not I don't Haran? Know. There's a person named Haran, and then there's a place called Haran.
That's it. So I'm not really positive. The place is a double R, and the person is a single R, and I'm not sure what that does to it precisely.
I don't know, but anyways, I'm confused.
We're getting sidetracked.
Suffice it to say, I did well to get as close as I got.
You did. You did excellent. You did excellent. Absolutely.
Reading genealogies.
That's it. So the thing that I wanted to bring out in this, as we're looking at this, and I just find it fascinating, is that we're reading the story of, and we just say it's the story of Abraham, and Terah's nothing. He's just a side note. He's just background, and he has no real meaning to us here at all. But that's not really true. He was a real person, had a real life, and I have heard some sermons and preachers who wrote that Terah actually had the original call that Abram received, that he was supposed to go to Canaan.
Well, I noticed that he's the one that started on the move.
That is correct.
From Ur of the Chaldees.
Right. So here's, and we have to
wonder, why did he move?
Exactly. And some say that he did not complete what God had called him to, and that's where Abram was brought into the process. I don't think that that's theologically correct in that he already had children, and there wasn't a child of promise for him. Necessarily. But I am interested in the question of, so what did his life really mean in the grand scheme of things? And so here's a couple of questions that have been rolling around inside my little empty head. The first is, who's the author of Genesis? Well, we say it's Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Moses ain't there. So who's the one telling Moses what happened? Well, we only got one option.
Only one option.
And that's...
It had to be God,
it
right?
It has to be God.
So, yeah.
So, of the many, many lives that are taking place, and understand, God sees all life. And he knows all things. The scripture says he's got the hair on your heads counted. So there's nobody that's not a main character in God's story. This is interesting to me. We think of main characters as the stars of the Bible, David, Solomon, whoever else you want to name in those regards. We have secondary characters. They're the cast of extras. They're in the backdrop, right? The lame man beside the pool of Bethsaida. Mm-hmm. Don't know his name, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
The Samaritan woman. Don't know her name. Just secondary characters.
Yeah.
And then you have a whole host of literally just background noise.
Mm-hmm.
The whole town of Jericho, besides Rahab.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about their lives. God knew every life. Mm-hmm. And when we think of God's plan, we think of God's plan in terms of a linear process. In other words, and it's written very linear in a sense, from Adam to Abraham or to Noah, from Noah to Abraham, right? And there's no variation. We don't see all the branches. Mm-hmm. We just see the trunk. And the truth is that God is working not just a single life. He's working all life. So if you want to think about the plan of God, instead of a linear process, and I know this is going to be weird, but I'm weird anyway. Think of God's plan as a Rubik's Cube, okay?
Okay.
And on a Rubik's Cube, you have all these squares of different mm-hmm. colors that you're trying to line up in a specific pattern and place and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get the blue square to the blue side in the place where the blue square needs to be, you have to move a red square, a green square, a yellow square. You're moving the entire cube, but all these things are moving so that the one square will be where it's supposed to be. Does mm-hmm. that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So God is moving all these lives, but all we're looking at is the one life that's being moved. Now, as a Christian believer, especially in America, my assumption is that God's plan revolves around me. We are very egocentric in our view of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to church, Brian, you're thinking about, what does God want to do with my life today?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, sure.
You're not thinking about, well, what's God going to manipulate in all the other lives around me
right.
so that he can move in my life today?
Mm-hmm.
That's not my thought. My thought is, what is God going to do with me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only thing that's important. You know, am I going to be blessed today? Am I going to see healing today? Am I going to see God move today? We're totally focused on our one little linear train of thought. Okay,
sure.
And the truth is, God is moving in all these lives. There are millions of people in India today that God is moving in, and something that I'm doing, does it affect them? No, you say, that's not even possible. Oh, it's a big Rubik's Cube, and God is moving a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, but I don't think that's biblically accurate. Actually, it is. Terah is the starter on the engine of Abram. When you have a starter, it's a little motor that moves a big motor.
Mm-hmm.
And Terah, although we don't know anything about him, because Moses only records this amount, what we know is that Terah was the jump starter to move Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and into Haran. Now, if you were to look at where Haran is and Ur of the Chaldees is, remember Tower of Babel, awesome place to live. Everybody wanted to be there until God said, nope, you got to scatter.
Boom.
Okay? So it would have been hard to move Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and say, hey, I'm going to take you to a land that you're not going to own and you'll never have a piece of.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to wander in a promise.
Mm-hmm.
But if in the mind of God, Abram is already beginning to move.
That's right.
He won't be as dug in and settled
exactly.
when I call him to go to a place that I will show him.
That's exactly right. Precisely. And what God is doing is he's moving in Terah's life. in order to move in Abram's life, mm-hmm. in order to move in King David's life, in order to move in King Solomon. And that's when you're talking about.
And it fits that old adage of it's easier to steer a vehicle that is moving than one that is parked.
Absolutely. No question about it. And this is my point. Terah was doing, and I heard this preacher railing old Terah saying, you know, he didn't complete what God had intended for him, and that's why Abram comes about. Again, I think it's theologically wrong because there's going to be a child of covenant, and Terah already has children. So it's going to be hard to have a child of covenant with Terah. But the other reason, besides the fact that it's not biblical, is because I really believe God thinks much deeper than that. And so when we come back, we're going to talk about how the different lives affect different lives, and that your life is important because of the effect it has literally thousands of years later after you're gone. But right now, we're going to talk about some lives that are affecting us today with encouragement, and that is penned from the heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
Dear brothers and sisters, this Christian radio station is so precious to me. I wouldn't be able to focus as I do without the praise, love, joy, knowledge of the truth, and a whole lot more that it brings to me. I want others here in America and around the world to receive this every day. I serve the God of always, the risen King Jesus, a Clarksville listener. From Elkton, thank you so much for so very much for what you do. And from a Hopkinsville listener, I thank God for his provision of Missionary Radio for all of us.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
So we're coining new phrasing here, and that is Rubik's Cube theology. There is biblical theology, there's systematic theology, now there's Rubik's Cube theology.
And don't worry, we don't have to work the cube.
That's correct.
God works the cube.
That's exactly right.
Are you going to write a book?
And when we say it's a Rubik's Cube, it's not just the standard Rubik's Cube. This is the mega Rubik's Cube of history. It's all of the lives that are being moved within the history of time. And one of the things that I'm really interested in this is that it creates significance in every life. Every life is moving other lives as we go through our days. So you think of your life as being non-consequential because you're not the main star of the biblical story, you think. That's not true at all. There are no main stars and extras. In God's view of life, every individual is critical.
I remember in the classic Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The angel, and we don't become angels after living this life. There's the bad theology.
That's bad theology.
But there was some good theology that every life touches another life.
That's right.
And when you remove one life, it leaves a terrible hole.
Exactly.
Because our lives affect other lives.
Absolutely.
And God has a purpose for each life.
That's right. Nice. I totally agree. And so one of the things that we say is we're reading here about Terah, the father of Abram. We concentrate on Abram. And the only thing I've ever heard about Terah is, you know, he didn't get as far as he's supposed to go. He was supposed to go to Canaan, but he didn't make it. He stopped in Haran. And, well, I don't know that that's the case. I think maybe the case was that his goal was to move Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and get him to Haran and create this movement, okay, and to get him in motion, if you will, so that Abram then would become the Abram that we know. There are so many people that are lost to the Scriptures, but are not lost to God. And mm-hmm. I think that we miss the mark when we start to judge everybody by the standard of the star in the passage, whether mm-hmm. you want to say the star is Abraham or Solomon or Gideon or whatever. You know, I'm not one of them. No, you may not be Gideon, but you might be one of the men mm-hmm. who went with him. You might not be Gideon, but you might be one of the men that went home. And you were obedient to show up, but you weren't called to go. And you're being obedient and going home, even though you're going to, you know, get ribbed about it for the rest of your days by the guys that did go. You went and did what you're supposed to do so that God could prove what he wanted to prove. Mm-hmm. You're fulfilling your piece of the puzzle, the Rubik's Cube, and in that, you're affecting the bigger picture of the story. And so one of the things that I want us to think about is how many other squares have we missed in the Scriptures? So we know that Egypt had the Israelites for 400 years. What do we know of their stories? Who's written the biography of one of the Hebrews in year, I don't know, 205 of a 400-year time of slavery?
Those 400 years kind of fit into a verse or two.
That's it.
Of the Scriptures.
And yet there are whole generations that lived and died during that time frame. And I would guarantee you that there were people who loved God, followed God, and are in heaven with God because he loved what they did and they loved him.
Because they kept that faith in God alive until Moses' parents.
Absolutely.
Had that faith in God that had been passed down from generation to generation.
Exactly. And so as God is working the puzzle, all these pieces are moving. And we say, well, but they're not important. Oh, they're unbelievably important. Mm-hmm. Because unless those lives are moved for those 400 years, there's a lesson and a statement and a truth that God won't be able to convey in the way he wants to. Mm-hmm. So them doing what it is that God's asked them to do makes all the difference in the world. And by the way, they weren't put into slavery out of punishment from God. They actually were brought to Egypt mm-hmm. out of obedience to God because he had sent Joseph to draw them to that place. And the same is true with Terah. Terah, evidently, following the leadership of God, is moving Abram in the direction he needs to go. He's heading that direction. As a matter of fact, in the New Testament, the Scripture records there in Acts chapter 7 that it says that Abram is the one that leaves Ur of the Chaldees. Well, Abram's the son. And one of the things that we've talked about in a couple of Bible studies I've been in is that the son can't just say to the father, all right, pops, it's time to go. Mm-hmm. He has to listen to the father. And so in Genesis, it looks like Terah is leading the family, and in Acts, it looks like Abram is leading the family. Well, who's leading him? Well, Terah is evidently listening to Abram, who is being moved by God. And he is listening to God because he's going to go along with his son. And so both pieces of the puzzle are being worked at the same time to get them on the road. So I just find it fascinating to stop and think about how many lives have been lost, again, to the written story, but are a part of heaven's story. I love the idea, and we were talking off air, that there's more than one Corrie ten Boom. Mm-hmm. Corrie Ten Boom is unique. Her story is special, and it blesses my heart. But was she the only Corrie Ten Boom that ever went through the concentration camps? No. I am certain there were others who hid the Jews and suffered terribly for it. I am certain that there are others who maybe were not locked away in concentration camps but had to flee with their families, and their story is just as important to God.
Sure.
So when you're reading about Tara, and all you're reading is a few verses, you think, well, that's not a very big character. Oh, but it is, because he's one of literally thousands and millions of names that God could draw upon. And he tells Moses thousands of years later, let me tell you about Tara. I'm going to get to Abram, but let me tell you about Tara. You need to know Tara. This guy's story is pretty cool. He does this. And John writes in the New Testament that of all the things that Jesus taught and did, all the libraries in the world could not hold the books of those deeds.
Mm-hmm.
So we know there are stories that were unwritten, but that did play out. And so in your life and in mine, no matter who you might think you are, how inconsequential you think your decisions are or your story is, you need to understand that God sees it totally differently.
Mm-hmm.
He sees it with the power of your life moving the lives of others. Just last night, we had a really neat opportunity to kind of see this unfold with Andrew and Rachel Sutton, who are members of our church. And Andrew came to our church as a youth minister.
Okay.
But he's now headed out to be a church planter. And the process by which we went to get to this place where he's heading out as a church planter was not one I ever anticipated, because I was linear in my thought. God does this to do this so that I can see this.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, oh, no, no. You're but a stopping stage on what I have in his life, but you're an important stopping stage for him in his life. And so I want to dig into that a little bit, but first I want to be able to take a moment and really be blessed by a lady who has spoken into so many lives, and that is Miss Johnny Erickson Tada.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope here on Missionary Radio.
Oh, yes, nothing smells quite as warm and sweet as a soft rain on freshly mown fields. The fragrance of newly cut green grass is the scent of summer coming, and I love it. I remember when I was a little girl growing up on the farm in Maryland, I would climb the fence into the pasture, lie back in that sweet grass, close my eyes, listen to the horses nearby munching at wet grass. You know, the Bible uses this metaphor about fresh-cut grass when it speaks of God coming to his people like rain gently falling on a pasture that's been freshly cut. Psalm 72, verse 6 says, may he be like rain falling on a mown field. What a fascinating picture. But think about it. If grass could feel the cut of the blade, ooh, that would be awfully sore. How grateful that grass would be for the healing touch of soft rain. And that's the point. The rain is healing. And so God says he will come to his people like rain falling on a mown field. There is so much in life that feels like a cutting machine, that feels like a sickle, a lawnmower cutting you to the quick. Your heart is exposed and suddenly sore and needs the healing balm that comes from God. It could be the prayers of a friend. That healing balm could be the word of Scripture that lifts your spirits. It could be an embrace from a loved one, patting you on the back, saying everything's going to be okay. No matter what we may call that which is healing to us, it is God coming, like rain on a mown field. And just as beautiful lawns are admired, may the same be true of us. The more cutting, the more rain, the more beautiful we shall be. But it can't be just one. It has to be both. When a vine is pruned and bleeding, it does not mean that the vine dresser has gone away. The absence of joy does not mean the absence of God. A vine whose dead branches have been lopped off does not suggest the vine dresser does not care. No, it suggests the opposite. To clarify what I mean, just listen to this poem by Francis Brooke. It's called God's Aftermath. The mower's blade had passed. Oh, we see that o'er the summer fields. The grass lay bleeding neath the summer sun. Strong hands swift stored the harvest wealthy yields and left the fields deserted one by one. Their glory gone, their beauty swept away, still smarting from the swift, keen cut of death, their woe the sharp, short work of one brief day. That dawned with sunshine in its balmy breath, methought they pleaded to the gentle sky that smiled above, bending o'er their grief, a voiceless pleading and a tearless cry, a soundless sob, soft sighing for relief. And heaven heard the fervor of their call and sent them healing balm at eventide, sweet raindrops breathing blessing in their fall and weeping gently o'er their wounded pride. Thus shall he come as rain on new-mown grass and withered hopes spring up to grace his path, new life be born wherever his footsteps pass and tender grass spring forth afresh. Beautiful poem.
And friend, today, if you feel as though you've been cut to the quick, if you're one of those pleading in a tearless cry, softly sighing for relief, remember, your God will come to you as a gentle rain, healing and helping and causing you to grow. And if you'd like a copy of this poem, you can download it at johnnyradio.org for free. Go there today and grab a copy of this beautiful poem for yourself and your friends. Remember, that's johnnyradio.org.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Missionary. Missionary Radio.
And once again, this is the Front Porch.
So we are talking Rubik's Cube theology.
All right.
It is the concept that as God is moving in a life, he is moving many lives. And what he does with a life changes many lives. And we were talking about Terah, the father of Abram. And in Acts chapter 7, it says that Abram sets out from Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan. Mm-hmm. But in Genesis, it says that Terah sets out from the Ur of the Chaldees to go to Canaan, but gets to Haran. And then Abram takes over from there. And the question is, you know, who was the one that was following God? Well, both were, and both factor into the process of God. God has to move Terah in order to move Abram. And so what we want to talk about is the fact that you might think that you're not the star in the show, you're not the center of the story of God, and that your life doesn't count for much. The truth is your life counts exquisitely, pricelessly, important to God's story because he's moving your life to move the lives of others. Mm-hmm. And so in a real world example of that, we have this couple, Rachel and Andrew Sutton, and they are going to be missionaries going out to Utah. And our church voted last night to be the sending church, and we're going to be the support church to send them out and to do this thing. And lots of churches send out missionaries, and it's an awesome thing. And I'm not saying that our church is special in any way, shape, or form. What I'm saying is the way that we came here was not what I expected. It was not linear. It wasn't a road I could see. When Andrew came to our church, he came from another church where he was serving in different capacities, but he felt like God's calling me to do something. And we had an opening for a youth minister. And so he came as our interim youth minister. Well, from there, he was then hired to be the actual permanent youth minister. And we were excited. We needed a youth minister. We had a good staff member. We thought, man, this is good. From the day that Andrew arrived, every time I'd have a long conversation with him, I always knew, okay, I feel like it's square peg and round hole. We've got him, and he's good at what he does, but this ain't what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say as much. You know, he's like, I'm fulfilling this because I feel like this is where God has me for the moment, but I don't know where, you know, I'm still, he wouldn't say I'm still looking, but he would say, you know, things that would let you know that he was unsettled. So one night he gave a presentation on their mission work in Uganda because they had been missionaries in Uganda. When he got done with the presentation, he and Rachel finished that presentation. And he was coming out in the foyer. I shook his hand and I said, it was a great presentation. I said, I now know who you are. I thought you came to our church to be this.
Yeah.
That's not who you are. Who you are is a missionary. That's your calling. Yeah. Because I heard, and Joe, you were there, you could hear the difference when he teaches and he preaches and he's doing church stuff. He's all in. Professionally, he's doing a good job. But when he's doing missionary stuff, he's all in heart and soul because that's the heartbeat of who he is. And I'm like, I think God's going to use you to help us do missions. And I was excited because that means we're going to go on mission trips and we're going to do things. And so one of the first things I did is said, hey, we're going to do a mission trip out to Utah. Do you want to go? And Rachel and Andrew said, yeah, we'd love to go. Let's go. So we drove out to Utah, and we did a mission trip out in Utah over the summer. And while we were there, the guys that were out in Utah grabbed a hold of him and Rachel and said, hey, we're looking for church planters. What do you think? And they're like, we just took the job at Second.
Yeah.
We can't be leaving. We've not even been there a year.
Yeah.
This is not where we're supposed to be. And yet God kept confirming this is what they were supposed to do. Well, last night as they were giving their presentation, they talked about how they came to the place where, the call was undeniable. This is where we're supposed to go.
Yeah.
And so they're going to go to Utah, and we're going to be the sending church, and we're going to get behind them and support them as they do that. We're Terra. My church is Terra. Mm-hmm. We were a stop. We were Haran, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're not Canaan. We're just Haran. We're stop on the way. We're a spot in the process, but we're not where they're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the ones who help get them where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's our job. And one of the things that they have said is that the church where they had been serving before they came to ours was one where they loved being there, but they were mentors to those who were growing under them.
Mm-hmm.
When they came to our church, they became mentored by those who were older than them and were wanting to support them going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so they needed to get to our place so that they could leave our place to go where God's calling them to go with the support they needed to be able to make this work. And so if you read their biography someday, and if God writes a whole chapter in another, you know, book in the Bible about the movement of God in Utah and all the rest of it, we're going to be Haran. we're going to be Terra.
Yeah.
But that's not because we're not important to God. It's because we're playing the part that God has given us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing that in a way that moves them in the Rubik's Cube to where they're supposed to be. the green side is going to be a little more green because that cube is going to land, but it means that our church is having to shift and turn to make that happen. And so there may be some folks out there today, and again, they're looking at maybe what their kids are going through, or they're looking at what their job is going through, mm-hmm. or they're looking at somebody who got the promotion and they didn't, or they're looking at somebody who got the class and subject matter they wanted and they didn't. And they're frustrated with God because, hey, I thought you were supposed to, my timeline, my linear process, where am I in this thing? God has not forgotten you. What God is doing is he is using you to move others into the place where he wants them to be. If you and I clamor for the spotlight, I can guarantee you we will not find it. But if all we do is clamor to be where God wants us to be, then we're going to get moved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There is no single spot for the people of God. They are constantly in motion because they're following a being, not a geography point. And so I want to finish with this. In the covenant that God makes with Abram, there in chapter 12, Joe, would you just read for me verses 1 through 3?
The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you."
So in this covenant that God gives to Abram, he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to make your name great. You know, everybody's going to know Abram, okay? And what Abram is going to become is what the people of Babylon wanted to build. It's very interesting. God is pulling him from Ur of the Chaldees, the place where Babylon is, the place where the Tower of Babel was to be built.
Mm-hmm.
He is pulling him from there, from what they desired to make happen by their own hands. And God is saying, and I'm going to create it by my hand through you. And I love the fact that Abram is an unknown and Terah is even more unknown. And God's going to change the world through two cubes that he's moving that the world can't see just yet.
And we even see at the end of verse 3 that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
That's right.
I see Jesus. God is setting,
Amen.
Using Abram to set it up.
That's right.
For Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior, to come.
Absolutely. He must become greater. We must become less. It's all about Jesus. And it's all about the story of God. It's not our story. We always think we're the character. Mm-hmm. It's our story. No, no. It's God's story.
God's story.
And there was somebody before you. There'll be somebody after you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's folks around you. And God's moving you to move them where he wants to go. As long as we're doing what he asks, then we're doing all that needs to be said. And eventually, who knows, maybe 3,000 years from now, God's going to write that story down and give it to somebody about how you were obedient to him. Well, make it a great day and let God move you where he needs you to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on this Monday morning. And join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for The Front Porch.